Good morning, or just good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Apologies for the delay this morning. We've just come out of a long North Atlantic Council meeting where the Admiral was briefing ambassadors on Trident Juncture. So I will now open, and if Admiral Fogel could first of all say a few words, and then we will pass to General Jakobsen. Admiral.
All right. Thank you, Pierce, for bringing us here together today. And ladies and gentlemen, again, apologies for running late. Didn't expect the meeting to go that long. Thought we'd be here 30 minutes ago. I did a similar event here last June. Some of you may have attended. And I'm pleased to be back at this marvelous NATO headquarters today with Lieutenant General Jakobsen and Lieutenant General Christian, as you know. Christian is my venerable deputy. In Naples, he's a Canadian Forces officer, as you can see, member of the 22nd Regiment, and he will be operating with the land component on the ground for Exercise Trident Juncture alongside General Jakobsen, as I am at sea doing what I do best as a naval officer afloat. The Trident Juncture LiveX will take place in and around Norway from October 25th to November 7th. We've been very open about these dates, and they have been consistent. We'll have advanced activities taking in place in and around Iceland from October 15th to the 17th. General Junot will oversee the exercises NATO Joint Warfare Center from the standpoint of Stavanger, and I'll travel throughout the region, be there for the amphibious landings, and then able to get ashore and do key leader engagement and observe the exercise as it takes place, and also be on the beach for the conduct of DV Day on the 30th of October. We're boiling down Trident Juncture to a core theme of just a few words. I call it the three Ds. NATO is a defensive alliance. Trident Juncture demonstrates our incredible capability. And together, we deter potential adversaries. All 29 NATO member nations will participate in the exercise, along with our partners from Sweden and Finland, and we're delighted about that. Trident Juncture illustrates NATO's relevance and unity in that we are ready to defend ourselves and the territory which is contained within those 29 allied nations. At the core of the exercise is the NATO Response Force, and within that, the 5,000-person-plus Spearhead Force, otherwise known as the VJTF, or the Very High Readiness Task Force. Today, it's my privilege to announce that the aircraft carrier USS Harry S. Truman and its strike group, including its ships and aircraft, will participate in Trident Juncture, adding about 6,000 personnel to the mix. That puts our total in strength up at 45 plus 5. You can do the math. The U.S. Navy is demonstrating this capability because of our flexibility and our agility and our commitment to the alliance. And we've deployed the Harry S. Truman as a function of our dynamic force employment planning throughout the globe, and it's one of the first platforms to actually participate in dynamic force employment. It came to the theater, went back to the States, and then returned just a month ago. While Truman remains ready to rapidly respond to any crisis anywhere, I'm thrilled to announce my intent to employ this very capable strike group in Trident Juncture commencing on the 25th of October. I'm confident Trident Juncture will be an outstanding opportunity to demonstrate our unity and resolve, and I'm grateful to our very capable NATO ally and host nation of Norway. I'm thrilled to have Rune Jakobsen with me here today. General Jakobsen commands Norway's Joint Force Headquarters in Bodø. I had the pleasure of visiting him in that headquarters earlier this year, and I'm thrilled with NATO's support of the exercise and their incorporation of NATO into the total defense concept. Their planning and support has been nothing short of stellar. Rune, over to you for your expected perspective from Norway.
Thank you very much, Admiral, for your kind words, and I take the opportunity to highlight the outstanding partnership we have enjoyed together with Joint Force Command Naples in all aspects of the preparations for the exercise. Our political leaders were very pleased 5 years ago when NATO decided to execute Trident Juncture 18 in Norway. Additionally, to the benefits of stress testing our national defence plans, we provide NATO allies first-hand experience of NATO's northern flank, and hopefully in challenging weather conditions. Norway is a small country, and her defence rely heavily on NATO's collective defence. Invoking Article 5 means to be able to receive allied forces, reinforcements, and to do that we must have plans and we must rehearse the plans. That's why Trijunction 18 is important for us. The exercise will give us the opportunity to test, evaluate, further develop our total defence concept, as well as national reception plans. During the exercise, Norwegian Armed Forces will cooperate closely with civil emergency services, police, railway port and transportation authorities, as well as local and national businesses. The size and complexity of the exercise ensures a very realistic stress test for everybody. More than 10,000 Norwegian troops will participate directly or indirectly, and both on the tactical and operational level, the field exercise will facilitate for testing interoperability and training cooperation between allies in a high-intensity warfighting scenario. I believe Norway will provide a unique training opportunity for all participants. With large sea, air, and land areas available for manoeuvre, and with very high freedom of manoeuvre in all dimensions. Allied training in Norway is also highly appreciated by the normal population. More than 76% of our population are positive to NATO, and hopefully all Allied soldiers will enjoy the hospitality they meet from local people in the exercise area. I would also like to highlight the excellent partnership we have with our neighbouring countries, Sweden and Finland, who will host aircraft deployments and make their airspace available for operations. My most important task as the Joint Force Commander is to provide a good training experience for all participating troops and nations and facilitate for every unit to meet their training objectives through the best possible host nation support. And one important task for me is to support the commander to make a safe exercise environment. Thanks for your attention. I'll give the word to Piers to lead the Q&A.
Okay, thank you very much. So now we have some time for questions. If you have a question, could you please say your name and your outlet? Yes, please.
My name is Vonchenko, correspondent of the Bulgarian Club Z Media. How far from the Russian border the maneuvers will take place? That's the first question. And second question, so, according to the scenario, NATO will repel attack from north. Does it mean that this attack, this imaginary attack, will come from Russia? Thank you.
How far from the Russian border? Well, NATO, Norway, has a border with Russia, and we are operating in Norway, and we are operating in the high north. As far as Tromsø and Alta, and I'll let General Jakobsen comment on that or add to that if he desires. This message or this exercise has several messages. That is that NATO is capable of defending. It is capable of deterring any adversary, not any one particular adversary, in the conduct of its operations throughout the theater of the alliance, and that is what we intend to do. So I wouldn't comment on any particular country. This is a message to anyone who might conduct any kind of aggressive act leading to an Article 5 scenario inside the NATO alliance. Wren, did you want to comment?
Yeah, the core exercise area is more than 1,000 kilometers from the Russian border. And air operations could take place up to 500 kilometers away from the border. So there should not be any reason for the Russians to get scared or see this as something else than a defensive exercise. And the six brigades training, they train both offensive and defensive operations. So the scenario is designed to make the units on battalion and brigade level training outcomes. Thank you.
Yes, please.
German contribution on the exercise, and second, I'd like to have some personal views of you, your dedication to the transatlantic security environment and your personal dedication to NATO.
Absolutely. Ich bin ein Mönchengladbacher. I was born in Mönchengladbach in NATO Northern Army headquarters at Rheindahlen in 1959, so you might say I was born into NATO. This is my fifth assignment in Europe. My fourth command in NATO, if you include the JTF that I commanded during Unified Protector in the transition from Odyssey Dawn. I am a firm transatlanticist. I've been educated in Europe at Sciences Po Strasbourg, the heart of the European community, and that's the reason I think I'm here in this job. It's a dream job for me, and every day I wake up and pinch myself knowing that I'm a NATO commander in Naples and I'm able to get underway and go to sea with a force of over 45,000 soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines to defend the interests of this alliance that I believe so strongly in. As to the German contribution, I'm pleased to say that it was in when I was in Berlin earlier last month, I had a chance to visit General Zorn, the German Chad, and compliment and congratulate him on the contribution of 8,500 personnel and their associated kit, if you will, the equipment that they're bringing to Norway. Germany is part of the German Netherlands Corps, headed by Lieutenant General Vanderlyn, who happens to be a Dutchman, a very professional soldier, and they are part and parcel of the 5,000-plus man spearhead force that I told you about, the very high readiness joint task force, which shows that NATO can move quickly. Part of a discussion during the summit earlier this year in July was a tabled proposition to be able to do the 30-30-30-30 plan. So that was to move 30 battalions, 30 aircraft squadrons, or 30 ships in 30 days. And some nations can do that better than others. The alliance aspires to be able to do that extremely well, and we're demonstrating that with the heavy logistics capability that will be demonstrated in this exercise. I think I've said it before, logistics is the sixth domain of warfare, and you're going to see that play out through Trident Junction. Thank you for your question.
If I may add to that, the Admiral mentioned the contribution of Germany. From a land perspective, they're going to provide a brigade, a very robust brigade, that will be part of the what we call the primary training audience, because the LIVEX portion, the live portion of Trident Juncture 18, is focused at the brigade level. So they have an extremely important role from a land perspective to play.
Okay, we have a question over here. Yes, please.
Dan Michaels, Wall Street Journal.
Hey, Dan.
Can you talk a little bit more about the challenge of just getting all the equipment to Norway, because
logistics and military mobility is a very big issue in Europe. The European Union is working with NATO on this. How does this play into all of that?
Sure.
Thank you.
When you're talking about moving over 45,000 soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, over 60 ships, large ships, 120 aircraft, and 10,000 rolling or tracked vehicles to respond to a crisis, that is no small feat. It has to be done through sea lift, airlift, or by the land. United Kingdom has chosen to drive a preponderance of its force on the land, so they're testing their ability to do that through land lines of communication. We have plenty of forces lots of U.S. forces, lots of U.S. Marines coming from the United States that will be exercising our ability to operate in sea lines of communication. So, you know, part of the victory of all this is that everybody shows up on day one, on the 25th of October, with their associated support and ready to defend. And so that's why I say logistics is the sixth domain of warfare. We're testing that. It's not going to be perfect. We have about 10% of the personnel and the equipment on the ground right now. So we've got a heavy lift over the next 18 days to get the rest of those folks there and ready to defend. And it was designed that way because that's kind of the way we would approach a crisis. Something happens, we've got to respond. In the United States, we call that TIPFID, Time, Phase, Force Deployment Doctrine. In NATO, NATO is working this through LOGFAS, its logistics program for delivery of equipment with all of these various means of delivery from the sea and from the air and from the land. And there will be some significant lessons learned out of this. And we don't expect it to go perfectly. That's why we do exercises. So thanks for your question, Chris Jones.
Yeah, just maybe a couple of points. The first one is the tactical mobility, especially, again, from a land perspective. The road network in Norway is oriented. There's no major highways basically going up north, south, the principal axis. So when we talk about over 10,000 vehicles on these roads, that will present a traffic control challenge that will stress test the system. The second point I want to make is the weather in Norway in late October, early November, will play a factor, for sure. As a Canadian, I know what it can look like in a northern country during that time of the year. They already had some snow in Norway, so that will certainly be stressing the movement control and our logistics as well.
Yeah, Brooks.
A little higher. Yes, Brooks Signer, Jane's Defense. I just wanted to build on Dan's question about military mobility. Two quick questions. How much of the NRF is going to be deployed? And I assume it's the entire spearhead that will be deployed. If not, could you tell us what percentages of both of those are at play? And is the way that the NRF going to be deployed in Norway designed specifically to test military mobility, or are you relying on air transport as in the past for it and the spearhead?
The whole of NRF will be deployed. It's a brigade part of the German Netherlands Brigade. It will deploy from Europe. They will finish an exercise, get on ships, aircraft, and fly in theater like it would happen during a conflict.
So no land elements? No overland?
No. Not from that element.
Well,
no.
The NRF and the spear, you're including the spearhead inside the NRF?
Yeah, yes. Oh, okay. Yes.
But is that how it would always be in a war case situation?
Well, it depends where you're going, right? So Norway, there's very few countries that can drive to Norway. Excuse me. I know the United Kingdom will deploy a significant element over land, so they're going to sail to the north of Europe. They're going to drive all the way to Denmark, and then they're going to sail to Norway just to test that military mobility that you're talking about. Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm just wondering if you shouldn't be testing more overland, testing more of the movement of the NRF overland in case in future Trident juncture was held strictly in Eastern Europe with no sea access.
Well, there's other exercises that are testing that, actually. The Noble Jump exercise that we conducted this past summer, but 2017, we had troops moving from Greece all the way to Romania overland.
I'm aware of that. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Ansgar?
Ansgar from the German Press Agency. I have a question in the same direction. A lot of experts are wondering if NATO is really capable to deploy troops very quickly. Wouldn't it make sense to do also so-called snap exercises like Russia? What do you think about it?
I'd like to get some training value out of an exercise And whereas a SNAPEX will tell you something about your readiness and your ability to respond on very short notice, I think that through a deliberate plan and over the course of time, we have an opportunity to look at different scenarios throughout the European theater and then apply the full force and capability of NATO. There's probably better learning, better training, and better lessons learned that come out of it, particularly with regard to monitors and assessors. So there's a lot that comes to bear to do an exercise, the volume of which Trident Juncture has become. And so I think that deliberate approach is going to allow us to take lessons learned away from this to refine and improve our training tactics and procedures in the future, more so than a SNAPEX would do. And, Rim, do you have a comment on that?
No, I agree totally, sir.
I can partly answer your question or concern. The VJTF, Very High Readiness Task Force, part of their annual training plan, there's an alert exercise that is taking place. So we do that. We bring the folks in, bring the vehicles in. We don't necessarily deploy them right away, but at least part of that readiness is tested that way.
Anna, please.
Thank you. Could you talk a little bit more if there's going to be any kind of training or putting into test any kind of cyber capabilities, and also maybe against the AP2, like anti-denial in the exercise? Thank you.
I wouldn't talk about offensive cyber capabilities. I wouldn't talk particularly about specific operational aspects of the exercise, but I would tell you that we intend to defend our networks against anyone that might have any kind of ulterior motives while we're in the conduct of the exercise. And I believe they are very robust. So we'll get a chance to test that.
Any other questions? Okay. Thank you very much, Admiral, Generals. Thank you for your time. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.